Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I'm Philip Gilfus, and I'm joined here with my full-time strandees, Daniel Prue and Darren Moser. How goes everyone's Trek work week?
If we're full-time, do we get health insurance?
Well, we gave you a hypo spray and a medical tricorder.
All right, that works for me.
Yeah, I've run out of ketchup, so the rest of our stay here on City Alpha 3 is going to be really sad.
Oh.
Bland.
Very bland.
Guys, I found this bottle of bourbon.
Oh, there we go. That'll liven things up. I don't know if you can use it as a substitute for ketchup, but maybe it'll make it so you don't care.
There's one way to find out.
Let's see. I have Endgame for Voyager in my pocket of, you know, that's the only thing I have left in my Voyager rewatch. I'm letting it cook before, you know, because once it's gone, it's gone. And then I start Enterprise, but that's where I am in my Trek. I'm also reading this TOS book that's it's okay.
Is it like an old TOS book, or is it like a relatively recent TOS book?
Well, yeah, it is called Ghost Walker. It is by Barbara Hambly. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm actually on chapter 11 of the new Dayton Ward next gen book, Headlong Flight, and it's pretty good. It's got a little bit of, you know, parallel dimensions kind of going on, so we're jumping back and forth between Enterprise E, like post Nemesis, and Enterprise D, alternate timeline, like season 3 or 4. So I won't spoil it, but the Enterprise D timeline is the timeline where Picard doesn't make it back from the Borg. So there's some big shifts.
Don't send us back.
Yeah.
Don't send us back.
Well, it's not necessarily super beard Riker, but it's interesting though, just seeing the little differences, and it's kind of a little tricky because I'm listening like to the audiobook, and even if it was just the written book, because you're having to visualize between the two ships, and it's like, oh, that's right. So this is the one with Riker as captain, and this is the one not with Riker as captain. And you know, it's really good so far. I'm looking forward to finishing it.
I think Daniel would just imagine you have the short nacelle or you have the long nacelle.
Exactly.
That's... Well, all the pictures in that book will help then in that case. Oh wait.
Well, speaking of things we do in our fun time, today's episode is actually, we're going to focus on what our favorite folks in the Trek franchise do in their off-duty hours, and we're going to be talking the hobbies of Star Trek. And this actually, I tackled this idea, I guess it's weird to say years ago, but I suppose that's actually true, on a Trek FM show called Warp 5, which is still going on, about the Enterprise TV series. And it was Warp 535 for anyone who wants to go for the archives over at the Trek.fm network. But anyway, where we talked about hobbies. But that's just always stuck with me, is it's very interesting to kind of look at the characters just through what they've done in their spare time. Because, of course, hobbies are always, I guess, an attempt to make characters or at least more interesting or define their characters. So I'm going to open up the SETI Alpha 3 hobby book. It's actually like a scrapbook. And oh, what a surprise. Enterprise is listed first. I guess I made this one. So, but I, you know, just for, cause I'm, you know, nerdy and have to organize, I'm kind of going to think about group activities and then individual activities. So like, what would you guys say were sort of the group off-duty activities of the NX-01 people?
Breaking the Prime Directive before it even existed.
Wow, that's so hipster.
Oh, man.
I mean, we know that they had, you know, 3D, 2D, 3D movie night, where they had the 2D movie of the past that I'm sure they converted to 3D and then projected on a 2D screen, or something, how that technology worked, but... Everyone, you know, really likes movie night for some reason, but it's a starting place.
It's interesting that seemingly after Enterprise in canon, but you know, all of the other Star Trek shows have kind of, I'm trying to remember because I can't remember it all right off the top of my head, but I think that they kind of gotten rid of like passive viewing experiences and everything's interactive at that point.
Voyager did have movie night as well.
Yeah.
That was just because Tom Paris loves everything retro.
Yes. Yeah. And that was just Tom Paris. That wasn't like everybody, but,
Well, I think the commentary they made on that was in Voyager. I thought that's what you were going to say. It was in, it's future past, days past, future past, days. Future's End? Maybe that's possibly it. But basically, when you have Neelix and Kes watching TV just to see if, you know, intelligent gathering, and they start watching the soap operas, and they're kind of like, you know, the passive experience, you know, when you're not involved in the story, you know, can be also enjoyable, just like it is being in a hollow novel. So I thought that was sort of their attempt at commentary about that.
That's true. Sometimes you just want to watch, and you don't necessarily want to have to walk around the scene and actually interact. You want to just enjoy it in a very passive way.
You don't want to fight robots. We just want to watch somebody fight robots.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, like, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember one movie from movie night. For some reason, I want to say they, like, they're all black and white 1950s films. I don't think they actually all were. I'm sure there was The Blob or something. I think they did try to actually do some variety that just wasn't your stereotypical public domain 1950s film.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely public domain.
Wasn't one of them Frankenstein, I think?
Yes, I think, yeah.
I think DePaul had some
editorial issues.
Yeah. They were all basically, and that's the thing too. It's like they never just like made up one, which is always weird too. It's like I feel bad for them because it's how do you do that? Because you either do only things that you're legally allowed to do, which are ancient movies from forever ago, or you like make one up. Like when they always like make up philosophers or whatever they're trying to list off, that always sounds weird. Like, oh, we watched the great, you know, Xenon 14 film from 2078.
Oh, that was like a classic. I remember growing up on those.
I thought the 13th movie was much better, but you know, it's a minority opinion.
It just feels so forced, you know. You list two things that the audience knows as like classic something,
like Mozart and Surak and Vorg 9. Oh yeah, yeah, those all three go in the same.
Oh
diagram.
Yeah, they're definitely in the same league for sure. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's
so it's tough, you know.
And then really, of course, published collective works. That's where it really became. Yeah, no.
Yeah, you could even do like something. Even if you could do something contemporary to when it was released, then you date the show immediately, and that's also troublesome. So it's an interesting problem that Star Trek has, but they do okay with it for the most part.
Now, Darren, you know, being a movie guy, I mean, academically, I suppose, as well as real life, but like, you know, so you know the NX-01 crew, you know, got to know your audience. What would be a movie you would recommend for movie night?
I would say maybe going with like a good submarine flick, maybe. Not Down Periscope. That is not a good choice. But
when you say classic,
run Silent, Run Deep. That's what I was thinking of.
Similar films.
I mean, yeah.
You got them confused.
Kelsey Grammer is no Das Boot,
but yeah, I could see them enjoying that especially maybe after the events of Catwalk. I think they could get a kick out of that.
See, I was thinking something just entirely escapism to be like.
I mean, who doesn't like Wizard Christmas? Of Oz? You mean that's or, always a good go-to. Yeah. Although
just
random
musical in Technicolor, you know.
Although you have to still remember that these movies at this point are like 200 years old ish.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it would be rough to watch them. It's kind of rough getting to watch them now, but that's just my youth.
Well, the CG in Wizard of Oz really doesn't hold up. Like,
well, unless you get the special edition.
The weekend monkeys just come right at you. You know, and it's interesting because I know to a certain extent, it's still true, but not as much. Maybe it's just a thing of youth. I remember, like, you know, not that there still isn't Turner Classic Movies, but, you know, like, that was, like, the black and white channel. I'm like, I'm not going to watch a black and white movie. Any movie that's black and white is going to be awful, which, of course, Philip. Is obviously not true. I know, but
it's
like,
mostly
I wonder
true.
If, like, yeah, but, like, when you're in the 22nd century, I mean, it's you have no choice, I guess, because it's the NX-01. What else are you going to do?
And again, like, they could, it's interesting that these are all ancient films, and presumably at the time, especially since the holodeck had not been invented yet, unless Hollywood is just gone completely, I'm wondering why there aren't movies being made at the time that they could get.
After World War III, Daniel.
That's probably priority number one target right there, but, you know,
although
I don't know why they wouldn't keep making films.
You know, with the Duotronic supercomputers, they could totally have like a company or a division that basically all they do is, you know, colorize old black and white films and 3D-ize them, you know, use the computer to figure out what's behind each object and how. I mean, you could, with enough processing power and a good enough program, you could easily do that. But,
well, I mean, like, think about it. Well, first of all, I don't think it would take a team of people. I'm sure they would have programs that would just be able to do it. But, like, think about, like, the VR stuff that we're kind of getting into now and how I'm sure that they in 150 years, they could have the capability just to upload a film into that and then have you just live inside that film, even though it wasn't, quote-unquote, holodeck. You know, you don't walk around and stuff. I guess maybe you could. I guess maybe that would be part of the reason why movies aren't being pumped out as often. I don't know, but
I think it's also just in the meta sense, it's, you know, movies are something that we do now and we want to see more future stuff as opposed to, you know, we'd rather do an episode about the holodeck than about movie night, you know.
Okay, all right, yeah. I was gonna say, so we watch old 50s black and white movies. Yeah, no, I get it, I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
and that's why it only lasted 4 seasons, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first, it was movie night that killed the radio star. All right, so let's go hit at some of the individuals, and we're not going to hit everyone. I mean, we could if we wanted to, but we got like a whole bunch of shows to do here. And we'll just pick random ones. I'll go first. We'll just do a little round robin and call it a day. I just think the most random hobby, and it's not a criticism, it's just random, is Captain Archer's water polo. Like, okay, I'm not familiar with that sport, and I'm still not familiar with that sport even after having watched Enterprise. But I was just sort of like, you know, you go from, you know, Sisko's baseball, you know, Picard's fencing, and then it's like water polo. And I'm like, okay, there's not a pool on the NX-01, is there? No. Okay. So he just watches it and plays with the ball. And okay, there you go. Why not? Though I just feel like there really wasn't room in the ready room for like a Sisko ball holder, you know, because that water polo ball is really big than a baseball, and so, you know, there should have been some
episodes. He's tossing around it in some episodes. Yeah. I don't know if it's in his quarters or in his ready room, but he has one.
Isn't it because he was it UCLA or something that he went to
Stanford.
And that's where Stanford, that's what it was, yeah. That he went to and played. So I actually, again, I'm scratching my head, but why choose water polo as a writer?
All good water polo players have their own water polo ball. I mean,
ball.
But on the other hand, Speedo, of course. But on the other hand, like, I kind of dig the really obscureness of it. That's kind of an interesting way to make it unique and kind of weird at the same time. So, again, water polo would not have been my first choice, even as an obscure one, but I can see why they did it.
I think it was in the public domain, so they... Oh, never mind. So what about you, Darren? What's an NOX-01 crew member's hobby that you find interesting?
Well, I know in some episodes she does it, but I get the feeling that occasionally Hoshi Sato likes cooking. I mean, there's the episode where she's trying to figure out what to make for Lieutenant Reed, and there's the other episode where she kind of, this is the one where they're all kind of going crazy and she remakes the soup or whatever a billion times. And so we don't see it very often, but you can tell that, you know, when she gets the chance to step in and help chef, you know, she does enjoy it, which is a nice little, I guess, hobby, especially, I mean, in Enterprise, you're still protein sequencers, and I mean, you would still do a good amount of actual cooking, much more than 24th century, but it's nice to see.
Tell that to Joseph Sisko.
I don't think he's alive at this point, so...
Yet, oddly enough, his wife probably is. So,
that's not the topic of this this week.
That is interesting because again, not that we want to hate on any series, but obviously a lot of characters in Enterprise always struggle for time and identity. But that'd give her at least a something to do other than, you know, outside of her job, obviously.
Right.
You know, universal translator, that is Hoshi, and then. That's great, but like, what else does she do? And then so, yeah, I think it's a little interesting throwback to what she does. Yeah, though it does make you wonder, when did we go from having a chef on the small ship to having punch cards to get ham sandwiches?
Well, I think the overarching story in Discovery is going to be following the ham sandwich punch card machine. Yes. We'll see. Chef has finally got to retire. You know, when he's on the that
it's
Enterprise.
It's been a long culinary road.
What about you, Daniel? What Enterprise hobby do you?
Well, so about? We do see all of the crews to some degree or another, you know, actually getting physical and doing things to work up a sweat and stuff. But in Enterprise, we actually see them working out. Which I guess we do in TOS as well. They had like a little half gym set for that one episode, but you know, there's exercise equipment and stuff, and that makes total sense. You know, you got to stay healthy and active on that ship that's pretty small. So you know, that's definitely something that people would continue to do from now until forever.
So I have a question. Darren, it's a spacey thing, so I'm sure you know the name of it. The thing that twirls you around, how does that work you out any?
Oh, you mean the, yeah, well, I don't know if it necessarily, it's more of a endurance, because basically it's not just spinning, it's the fact that you're usually using like a control to, or think of it this way, if you spin a gyroscope, and it's spinning really fast, when you try to alter the plane of the gyroscope, you get extreme resistance. So if you're spinning in that, as you're trying to adjust it, you're going to feel that resistance. So I would say it's part that, but part 3D space training, because that's where the astronauts would use it, is they would actually have controls that would simulate doing thrusters in a gimbal spin. And so your goal would be to correct your yaw pitch and roll to stop tumbling.
I just think like I would walk into the Enterprise gym and be like, I'll be on the treadmill.
Yeah. But you have to compete with the person next to you, like beep 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 beep, you know.
Beep 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 beep.
Beep 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 beep.
And then it's just like Porthos on the other one.
And don't forget the super futuristic nested weights. It's like, you know what? I need 20 pounds in this weight.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
I mean, those actually exist. I know, like, people who have those. But...
Oh, no. Wasn't there a scene where they just turned it up?
Well, yeah, that's the running. But maybe they did it on the weights. But I know
sure they did it on the free weights as well. They just had a dial on the side. And they're like, well, okay, 5 pounds more or whatever.
I think that was the one with the Orions where they're, like, trying to get them out of their head. So they're, like, working out as fast as they can.
What, they don't have cold showers on the NX-01? Yeah, so that's a quick
round. Just decon chambers.
That's good. That's right. Well, that's another hobby, but, you know. Jetting forth into the 23rd century, so TOS. So they had a rec room, right? That's where, you know, you can have your recreation.
And a bowling alley.
Right there in the name. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Actually, the book Arboretum. I'm reading does make a joke about that. But they're like, oh, we can go
bowling
do this.
Isn't
you know,
any
there's a
joke.
Bowling alley in there.
I wonder how much Spock likes bowling.
Beer refinery. I mean, there's all sorts of...
A beer refinery? Like, beer is some natural resource that you get to mine?
Hey, that
no,
would be an
in the Enterprise,
Scotty episode
there's a beer
when
refinery.
They arrive on the hops planet.
I was making a JJ verse joke.
No, I got the joke. But just using the word refinery was interesting.
There's also in TAS we do get the, you know, the rec room, but also kind of a proto, I don't remember exactly what they called it, but a proto holodeck as well. Mm-hmm. So
proto deck.
I'm sure that's exactly what they called it, but. the board games was really the wave of the future in TOS.
A lot of chess. Big chess.
Yes, but it's in three dimensions.
I mean, it's really the epitome of games. You can't really go up from there.
Chess has been played for bazillions of years, but we had never thought of using the third dimension.
Not until Sheldon Cooper developed three-person chess has there been a leap in
has
the chess
there, has chess technology ever come this far.
So now I've been thinking, you know, Scotty's more of like a liquor guy, but I'm like, would he make his own beer? Would Scotty be a craft brewer?
Would he have a still down in main engineering?
I think JJ Scotty maybe is more of a beer drinker. So that's maybe what this is all about.
Oh, we actually see him drinking beer. I can't remember if it was beer, but when he was
Into Darkness, he's getting drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't remember what he's drinking, though.
It's always a Budweiser classic. That's always
probably a Budweiser classic, I imagine.
Or a Slesho, whatever that is. But yeah, no, it's. I mean, we get singing. I mean, Uhura sings a couple of times.
Mm hmm. Spock plays.
Yeah.
He does.
There's
Riley sings.
Because of the episode you made us watch, there's theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but they don't do it on the Enterprise. They have people come so they can watch it. But yes.
There's a wrestling room.
I'm like, that's true. That's true. Charlie X. Yes. I guess you're supposed to take your shirt off.
Yes.
And it didn't.
It is a prerequisite.
Captain's prerogative, I think, is what that's called. I mean, I don't think anybody else. Who is that random third guy that was in the room with them?
The one that gets vaporized or the.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Didn't they got sent away? Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Poor guy.
Oh, yeah. It's on a long list. So any individuals that you can think of, Daniel, on the TOS hobbies?
I don't know.
Russian references.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess.
The hobby of making references.
Does that count as a? I guess you have to count as a hobby, though it shouldn't, because it's still his job. It's just to an
reading technical manuals.
Yep.
Yes.
Writing technical manuals, as we know he does.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Ah. Well, I think he read them, and then in the movie verse, he's writing them. Maybe that's the difference.
So he plagiarized them, basically, is what you're saying.
He's improving them. I guess, yeah, you can include the movie universe. Are there any...
Now I want to do an episode where we'd have to dig really into TOS, but... like we did with the Picard conspiracy, this is a list of technical journals published by Scotty. You know, how I brought whales back from extinction, a guide by Montgomery Scott. You know,
that would be funny.
Dyson Sphere 101, published by Montgomery Scott. You know, how to prove you're not the Jack the Ripper by Montgomery Scott. You know,
R.I.P. Franklin, a memoir by Montgomery Scott.
Way to bring it down, Daniel.
Franklin was really the one who had the idea. I survived. That's all I did.
Had to get rid of him to get rid of the evidence.
I was going to say that in the Kelvin verse that Kirk likes to ride ancient vehicles.
There you go.
Oh, here's another one. Trans Warp Beaming by Montgomery Scott.
Oh, that was.
Wait, but he copied
himself.
That
one was definitely plagiarized,
worse.
Too. So.
Well, well, if you plagiarize yourself from another timeline, is it really plagiarism?
That is a very interesting question, a philosophical one.
I mean, that really is what founded Section 31, let's all be honest. But
we'll leave it to the Honor Court. I want to see that episode.
Just know, Scotty, there's only one space in the penalty box.
And there's an infinite number of you.
Yeah, I was trying to think that, I mean, I get we always like, oh, music's mathematical. Does it make sense that Spock played a musical instrument? Or was that just to make him cool?
I was just thinking that same thing, like...
Like, he's the emo guy that's so deep. Oh, man.
So he's the camp counselor who has the guitar, is basically what you're saying?
All the girls like him. He's so mysterious and...
Or does he also have that computer from Star Trek 4 where he's just, is that a game for him where it's like, how do you feel? What is the, please alter this sine wave so that neutrinos can pass through it, but antineutrinos cannot.
Correct.
It's like, well, boy, that sounds really exciting there, Scott.
So what kind of music? Spock definitely doesn't play jazz.
Right. I like all jazz.
Like electronica or something? I'm trying to think of something with like...
So he pioneered the synth tunes of the Vulcan. Do 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 do.
Wait, how many... Now every time I watch a TOS episode, I'm trying to figure out, is the soundtrack, is Spock playing this?
Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da That's why there's only five tracks and you hear them in every episode.
The Vulcan lyre. What can you do?
What can't that instrument do? I mean, it just makes any noise you like.
I mean, the Sulu fencing, you know, that's I'm JJ. I'm who I'm talking about. Sulu fencing.
Well,
right?
No, I mean, we first see him fencing in TOS, which is why we.
Well,
see it.
He was going crazy in that episode, so I didn't know if that was an actual hobby of his or he just went.
I don't know. He looked like he knew what he was doing.
Right.
He didn't stab himself. That counts as knowing what you're doing.
I feel like most people would if they don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well. All right, so it seemed like not a lot to do with TOS. So TNG, we probably can't think of anything. I don't know. So what's a group activity at TNG?
Almost dying on the holodeck. That gets me every time. Creating artificial intelligences.
Well, the poker game, of course.
Right.
You know, that was sort of a good
hobby.
But
here's the thing. Why isn't it 3D poker?
Oh, see, that's a good question.
Use these primitive real chips.
A card is like some sort of a
like
cube.
A tesseract.
Yeah, or something.
Oh god, that's how Geordi can't see through them because they exist in and out of time at the same time.
There are literally
shuffling
7 trillion
rip...
combinations of cards you can have. You know.
Shuffling the tesseracts can like fold the fabric of reality, but.
I feel like the poker game is now starting to sound like a D&D game. Like, roll your card 6. Oh, no full house for you. You take 5 damage.
But, yeah, I mean, they have poker. They have... There's a lot of those little games we see around on the tables in 10 Forward, like the little Marble Madness Cube Stack, whatever that one's called, and, of course, the 3D chess, and... There's a
What's
couple
the
little
one,
games.
What is the one called with David Data does with his little fingertips?
Stratagema.
Stratagema, thank you.
Stratagema, yep. Right. It's 3D strategy.
I mean, yeah, that's, you know, sorta. Yeah. There's Parisi Squares. I mean, it's so dangerous we can't even show it on public television.
It's intense.
Kids, get your parents' permission before we can show you.
Sign this waiver. Squares. Go to upn.com and sign this waiver before you can. But
surely someone has tried to create Parisi
I'm sure they have.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you start with the uniforms, and then you work your way into the rules.
What kind of activity would I be doing if I wore this ridiculous outfit? Let me think.
We will be victorious. You work up a sweat, death to the opposition, you know. It's.
It reminds me, and I can't for the life of me remember what episode. I can vaguely remember the episode, but anyway, it was Voyager. It was that they were docked at this alien, of course it's an alien, but space station, and there's like there are all these aliens, and like, you know, the Janeway's getting all these presents, and then like something looks like a little cross thingy, but anyway, it turns out then like Kim and Paris get into some like huge fight, and they come in and they're like, well, we were playing some game, and you know, we thought it was like this, and she's like, does it involve this thing? And they're like, yeah, that's it. And, you know, they completely got the game, you know, the rules all wrong, and ended up starting some sort of huge fight. But, yeah.
Did they have to saw a log while oiled up in order to apologize?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I mean...
But yeah, what were some individual TNG hobbies, Darren?
Well, I mean, we've mentioned several times, you know, our crew on the eclectic 1701D really likes their music. I mean, even more so. I mean, you have Riker's got the trombone and which, you know, is so, I mean, he loves it so much. He puts it in his captain's room when he's captain. I mean, that's how you know he's moved in.
The fish is gone. Trombone's
yeah,
in.
Fish is out. Trombone is in. Then.
Oh, actually,
does Data play an instrument? Well, he plays the violin. That's right. I'm sure he could play the whole orchestra, but he limits himself to...
Like Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Data likes writing about... Or sorry, Geordi likes writing about Data playing the violin. In the hands of some, the violin is simply an instrument. But in the hands of Data, it transcends itself into an art form.
That reminds me of that one episode 2 where... Riker is watching those two girls play the instruments in his quarters. Those two holographic women. Do you remember that?
It's a season one or
yes,
two.
Is it playing like Hot Cross Buns or something? Like it's a recital or?
No. It's I vaguely remember a beardless Riker.
He's
smiling too broadly, hands back as these two holographic women. Yes.
And somebody walks in and they're like, I can't remember if they're dancing or playing an instrument or something. So, and he's just watching them. And it's a little weird.
This has got to be season one.
It's very early.
Yes.
This sounds like.
That's true. Yeah,
so wait, is he on the holodeck then? Because you said they're holographic.
No. I think he's
in his
quarters or
something. And somebody comes in.
So yeah. They're like hologramming like out of the table or something? Or they're on like a display?
Yeah, they're really small. They're like, they're on the table. So they're maybe like a foot
this
tall.
This is sounding like a lot like the Star Wars Holiday Special. And that's starting to get really, yeah, special there.
Many people have compared season one TNG to the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Now I'm trying to think actually how many other places or other crew members play instruments. I mean, we know Data.
All of them. I think all of them. Tell me one who doesn't.
Well, no, I'm trying.
Even Geordi.
What does Geordi play?
Geordi plays the lute, and then Worf throws it over his head.
That's true. Okay. And, I mean, Worf.
I guess technically no, but Klingon opera eventually.
Yeah, Klingon opera, so. Klingon poetry.
Well, he sings.
Yeah.
He sings. He chants and sings.
I mean, yet he doesn't know who Gilbert and Sullivan are. I mean, is he really, you know, versed in the classics? But, and then, well, and Picard, obviously, his flute, which he kind of cheated by, I mean, you know, having the lifetime memories of a master flutesmith, you know, downloaded into his mind. I guess he learned it.
He's flouting that everywhere. Anyway,
it's on his resume. Expert flautist. Okay. That's probably not the right word, but you know.
He's like, I learned it in 2 seconds. Yeah.
It's like Groundhog's. He Groundhog's Day learned it. You know, just every day. He's like, okay, now I'm this far. And I've never had a lesson.
I took a look to see if I could find this, and it was very difficult to find. And I found it on a blog.
Yes.
And I want to tell you their description of it because it's actually really funny.
Oh, please.
Next,
do.
We get some girl O-vision where two lovely ladies in sparkly togas cheerfully play harps. This is, by the way, on Haven. This is on the episode.
Oh, yes.
Haven.
Season one.
I'm shocked at season one.
Yeah, do you all know as many people that have music hobbies as the Enterprise crew does? I didn't know if that was just like a safe hobby because it's all public domain and you don't have to, you know, think that hard. But like everyone's music is like required to be on the flagship.
Either play it or you listen to it.
I think I think what the idea is there, of course, we've heard it a lot on Star Trek, is, you know, the arts and are important. And I imagine that what stops most people from playing an instrument when they're young now is money. So that's presumably true. In the future, everybody would just learn to play music. Because why wouldn't you if you had the ability and the resources? So I assume that's probably what it is. And then, of course, we are looking at the people who are the best of the best. So they're the nerds who practiced every single day and stuff, you know.
Well, I was going to say, they don't have Netflix. They have time. What are they doing?
But that's a good point, Daniel, because exactly. I mean, if you want to take the time to learn an instrument, obviously you have your duties as a Starfleet officer, but you don't have to earn a wage. You can just take your off time to learn something else.
Yeah, I there's no, like, you know, when you're growing up in the 24th century and like, I want to be a triangle player. You can't be like, well,
is that gonna put bread on the table, Billy?
Yeah, I know. You're like, oh well, I guess that's, yeah, sure, go with that.
Does anyone, you play the piano? I think Odo might.
Well, Picard's girlfriend.
Oh, that's true.
You don't remember her name?
Lieutenant Commander Darren.
It's in the tip of my
tongue.
Come
on, guys.
Is it Daniel?
No.
Lieutenant Daniels.
Oh, gosh.
So you should...
We've already had this discussion. It's Philippa Lavoie, Lieutenant Daniels, and Lieutenant Commander Darren. We all exist in Star Trek.
So you should...
Oh, dear Lord, these images. Yeah. What is going on? And that Riker face. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's pretty dirty.
One of these might have to be the cover. I'm just...
or both of them, and you do one of those little thought bubbles above Riker's head with the other image inside of it.
Yeah, that's all kind of special right there.
All right. Well, moving on to Deep Space Nine. Trying to think. To me, it's going to sound weird. I feel like it's almost harder to think of group hobbies other than what the obvious one is that I'll say in 2 seconds. But like, there wasn't a poker game, and I guess maybe it's because. Not that the crew wasn't very together, but to me there were much more set pieces, like these two or three over here, these two, three over here, these two, three. It wasn't like we're all going to hang out together unless
the captain makes us play his holographic baseball.
Yeah, and I was going to say Hollow Suite. I mean, that's, I guess, like maybe a given, but still you have to say it because that's what they do. But, you know, other than hanging around in Quark's bar, I don't know, in a group activity.
Posting the deaths on the wardroom wall. I mean, that's a
fighting.
Oh, now
Dominion.
Who's bringing it down? Come on.
But
we're talking about off-duty.
Tailoring. It's
so now Deep Space Nine. You would think, and I know it wasn't built for this because the Cardassians built it. And I wonder what kind of activities they're into. Maybe they like. Just lay under heat lamps or something. I'm not sure. But
that's pretty much exactly what they do, I think.
What do Cardassians do for fun? Bring down small governments.
But what I'm thinking is when Starfleet got there, they could have definitely built some like a serious sort of like facility for whatever fun you'd want to have. They have the space, right? So
who needs this ore processing plant? This is all going to be a holodeck.
This is going to be the world's largest polo room.
I know.
Think of the curved bowling alley we could make in this station.
Like you just go spin around.
3D space bowling with no gravity.
Oh, 3D bowling, yes. And it's black light. Oh, it'll
be my
awesome,
God. They
guys.
Have cosmic bowling in the cosmos. That is so
Well,
perfect.
That's just actually called regular bowling, Daniel. Okay, now I think cosmic bowling is now winning out on the title of the episode. But
man, that would be awesome.
Cosmic,
like there's no mini golf. They could have done a great mini golf course there.
Oh
the
man,
promenade.
They definitely could have. Oh, well, they could have had like ones that went down from the top and stuff.
Well, what's the name of that racket game?
You have to shoot it.
That they play. That
what game?
The Julian plays with the racket.
Well, the speed.
Oh no, it's just my.
It's squash,
yeah,
basically, but in space.
Yeah. Is it just racquetball? Did they just call it racquetball?
No, it's got some future name. I'm sure it does.
Space racquetball.
Yeah, it's... Anyway.
Well, you have darts, but I mean, if we're talking about the bromance.
Yeah. But I know what you mean, Philip, about it's much more groups. Like, it's gonna be Miles and O'Brien. Sorry, that's the same person. Julian and O'Brien, you know, doing the, you know, what is it, Red Baron or whatever, about, let's say, the Alamo or whatever. And then you have the episode where Jadzia and Kira, you know, are doing the medieval, you know, Holosuite game. So there's, you know, yeah, they're going to pair off. And then you also have, like, Bashir and Garrick doing their spy, which that's a fun one. Armand Bashir. I think that's.
So yeah. It is just called racquetball.
I am high. I'm really disappointed.
Spring ball was what I was thinking, yeah. Which is a Bajoran game.
I'm really disappointed in you, Deep Space Nine. I mean, come on.
I forgot that racquetball was on TNG as well.
Well, yeah, because you also have the episode where Beverly is talking to Guinan about her tennis.
No, that's not even the one I was talking
about.
But
the racket looks similar, though.
It's probably just a reused prop, I'm sure. Yeah,
it's a space.
They never do that in Star Trek. What are you talking about, Dave?
No.
But
oh, is it when Picard and his fake son are playing?
Yep, that's what it is. Oh, and while we're speaking about O'Brien, he likes to, you know, go down the rapids and stuff, whatever that's called. I can't think of the word, but
kayaking. Yeah.
He likes breaking his elbow. That's his.
He's a man of extremes. He's got kayak, you know, death defying on one end, and then he's got miniature model making on the other end.
I was just
going
to say,
shipping bottles.
Miniature painting. Yeah, for sure.
Well, he makes the model of the Alamo and all the little.
That's
and,
true.
You know,
he's playing with toys.
But I can picture them being like, how do we get it outside the quarters? Because it won't fit through the door.
Beam them out, duh.
Obviously they didn't think about that. But I'm trying to think other, because I mean obviously Cisco.
Yeah, this is, to me it's hard because I'm like Cisco. Okay, you got baseball and cooking.
But does
he play a lot
of baseball? We see him play it once
in his mind.
Oh,
Darren. in his mind.
He played entire seasons in his mind. I know every statistic, every pitch, every. So does now I want an episode where Dr. Paul Stubbs comes over and they just sit in Barca loungers looking at each other and they're playing the whole season against each other. With no hologram.
So there is like 170 some odd games in a season of baseball. That is really, I mean, like, even if you love baseball, that is super boring. If you're just sitting there, like, in your head thinking about, okay, yep, now he's running to first.
Daniel, that's why they call it fantasy baseball.
Okay. I've already gone on to my anti-baseball rant already before on the show, so I'm not going to go too far into it.
Okay, so at a minimum, Cisco and Stubbs have to be a part of the same fantasy league, and they send communiques back and forth.
Yeah, the only two people left. Yeah, that's right.
So it's either you're one or
you're
two.
And that one Vulcan captain.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, and Cassidy's brother.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, who knows about that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Although I really love that episode. That episode is a great episode.
But take me out to the Holosuite.
Now, would you? Yeah. You know, would you say Jadzia's hobby is throwing parties?
She is very good at it.
And Klingonging.
Jadzia has a lot of hobbies, right? I mean, Klingon. Nice. She's like a ballerina, and she's a murderer, and she's she does a lot of things. She really gets around. So
there's a lot of parts to her. Is that what you're saying? No.
Which is interesting too. I mean,
she's lived many lives.
Tongo, we haven't brought up Tongo yet, right?
Oh yeah, Tongo. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
There's
that is actually
And I'm surprised they don't have a Domjot board there because that seems like that would be
human like Domjot.
And then there's what was that chance spheres that other guy made across the way?
Oh god, yeah.
I'm not saying it was a good episode.
Oh, who was that guy though?
He came out of nowhere and then he failed his business.
Oh, that was Prince Humperdinck. That's the only thing I can ever think of when I watch that episode.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Oh, jeez.
Humperdinck. That's all I can think of the whole time.
Why do you keep saying his name?
But yeah, there's Tongo and Dabo. That's right. That's the other one.
Dabo. Which is essentially just
roulette.
Roulette.
And then Tongo's kind of like, I don't know.
3D Monopoly.
Oh gosh. That's why everyone wants to hate each other.
I don't know what I would compare Tongo to. I mean, you only have, what, 3-4 options or something? Like, you can whatever.
But there's
whatever.
The fact that the board turns, you know, as you play. I know, they start to spout, well, like, 7th interval and, like, 4th, you know, parallax. And it's like, you're just making up stuff, guys.
I declare bankruptcy! Yeah, no. Yeah.
It's not how it works.
I'm glad you got that reference. I really am. yes, actually, there is a lot going on. And it makes sense because this is this cultural
hub.
Wait,
guys,
you know?
wait. You almost forgot. It has a travel size. You drop it down. Giant multi-level board game. Move along home.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you got the little sticks to encourage your players.
Technically, they were
on
duty
for
that. You
got the dice.
So.
You have the different figures. I mean,
did they
I don't
name
know.
That game in that episode? They just called it the game, didn't they? I think
it was, yeah, like the game.
Which is weird because TNG called it the game.
Well, that's a totally another topic for another time, but yeah.
But yeah, I can't think, like, you know, what does Major Kira do other than
pray?
I mean, and I'm not trying to say that. Well, I was going to say that flippantly, like, other than religion. But I mean, you know, that's not a hobby. That's her, you know, way of life. I wouldn't call
fantasize
it a hobby.
About
like, yeah.
Beryl.
Wow. Oh, way to bring it down.
Well, eventually she does dress up with Jadzia, so
that's
nice.
True.
That's your cosplaying.
Yeah. Punching right. Lance a lot, you know, that's fun. But
I'm trying to, yeah, I don't, I guess she was too busy killing people when she was a kid to develop any hobbies, so.
Yeah, which I get. She's
building clay furnaces, or is that other guy does that?
Oh, good. I thought you were about to say mask, and I was like, wrong one, Darren!
No.
Clock making?
This does not make me think of you. Yeah.
Clock making.
Yeah, making clocks. Making sailing ships.
There has got to be.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. Woodworking, essentially.
But I think for
No,
Cisco,
I meant this. The Bajoran anything. Sail ship.
Yeah, that's what I was talking
that's
about.
That's what I meant. For Cisco, anything Bajoran.
Yeah, he's a Bajorophile. We've already covered this.
Yep.
Which, of all the planets in this galaxy, Cisco, come on, man. But whatever.
I mean, I think this is sort of too on the nose, but Odo shape-shifting. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, he has his own and his quarters. That's a hobby of his.
And I think he rents it out during the day to kids to play on all the playground equipment. So.
I would love for one time someone to come to his quarters and they open the door and he's like, sorry, I've been gaseous form. And he's like, you know, back into his bucket.
You just reversed that image.
You see what you did there.
All right. So now off to the Delta Quadrant and Voyager.
Getting home. That's again. A fun game.
Yeah. Well, I think like Holodeck again, or Holosuite, whatever word we're supposed to use for that one. Again, you know, we could talk about all the different holodeck programs, but you'll
except
just say
for Janeway's
holodecking.
Because we don't need to talk about it.
I mean, Fairhaven is the epitome of...
What do you have against Da Vinci, Daniel?
Actually, Da Vinci was fine. I was thinking more of her, whatever she was, the governess.
Oh, the governess one? Yeah.
The gothic.
Those kids were kind of scary. Like, who talks? Beatrice, my sister. No, just stop talking, kid. You're freaking me out.
we've had water polo. We've had baseball. I'm sure there was other things. Now we get hockey. Right? There's that one episode where...
I do not remember any hockey in Voyager.
Oh, come on.
I'm not saying it's not true. I just don't remember.
There's not a Canadian on that cast.
There was that one episode where Paris and Kim come out of the holodeck and they've played hockey.
Oh, it's one
they're
of those.
They're wearing skates
so we
stuff.
Don't see them. We just see them like coming out. Like
yeah,
done.
They got their
okay.
sticks and they're wearing skates.
Got it. There's that beach planet, you know, Neelix's party resort or whatever they call it.
Right. Well, I think Paris and Kim just went through the entire hollow.
They're like channel surfing. They're like, nope, played it, nope, deadly, nope, Klingon, nope. Wait, what is this?
Oh, extreme sports with B'Elanna, where you jump off out of
plane. X Games with B'Elanna.
I thought you were like pitching that for MTV. It's extreme sports with B'Elanna Torres. Oh yeah.
Oh man.
It's just her and Dan Cortez.
It's called Safety's Off.
That's a good title, actually.
But yeah, there's, you know,
Music, hey, there's more music, guys.
Yeah.
Kim and Doctor and
Forget to mention plays in TNG? I think we did.
We talked about theater for a hot second.
Right, hot second, right. Yeah, okay.
What's that board game Naomi's playing?
Katiskat.
And there's also Kalto.
Which I think is 3D checkers.
In a flat plane, but yes, sure.
Well, it's also, it goes up.
True. It's more of an incline than three-dimensional.
They haven't quite made it to the third dimension yet.
They're really trying.
I
see the game designers are like, is the world ready for 3D checkers? I think all we can get is a 45-degree angle, Bob. I don't think we're ready
for 3D. It's travel. Inclined checkers.
When you have to absolutely positively take a runabout, bring Kata Scott. Because, but there's also a Kalto, the Vulcan stick game.
That was cool. That was actually really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's Vulcan Jenga.
I was just going to say, is it 3D Jenga? But Jenga's already
3D. Jenga's already 3D, Daniel.
Space Jenga is what it is.
But I liked how they didn't use terms. It just... Because you could totally see them being like, oh, you tried the seventh interval reverse remote. It's like, no, just stop talking. Just put the stick on the thing and it does something.
I think, actually, a better description, it might be space Rubik's Cube.
Yeah. So we were just talking about that. They did that in Deep Space Nine with Tongo. Like, they just threw out all this vernacular that you're just...
Right,
either,
yeah.
You're just supposed to kind of wash over yourself and be okay, but...
Or it's like Star Wars and Sabacc. Like, it's barely a game, but it's a game, you know?
Oh, no. I played many hours of Sabacc in Knights of the Old Republic back in the day, so...
Well, then we can just bring up Fizbin from TOS.
Well, yeah. Oh, that's true. We didn't do that.
Oh, man.
And it makes sense for a game that Vulcans would play. So it actually fits.
I'm sure
absolutely not fun and uses your brain. I get it. Yeah. Well, I also added, it's not so much a game, but it is a activity, I guess. Neelix really likes his cooking/talk shows. I mean, they don't really get past the pilot phase. They kind of get nixed by the captain, but he comes out with a new one every season, it seems. So.
Well, I think we have to give credit where credit is due. Neelix is Trek's only podcaster.
Oh, it's totally is.
That's true.
Yeah. Although he ran out of material for
Who Is Your Father episodes, so that's kind of why they canceled the show.
I would say the close second, though, is the Doctor and his holographic tours. That's kind of close as well. But the inside
the doctor,
of the cell.
was really into photography. Which
hollow photography,
because that's
and
like
holographic family, you know,
3D.
Yeah,
yes,
but yeah,
yeah. I'm trying to remember, like, if we're gonna stretch it, like Chakotay boxing.
We don't have to stretch it, you know. No, we don't really have to mention that. We could move on without.
No, I like the hobbies that come up once and never again, like. Guys, Tom Paris is really into oceans. Like, that's who he is.
I don't even remember that. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's the episode where he gets...
31 days.
Demoted.
Flavors.
Demoted
in that episode.
Harry Kim and his clarinet, which I think we see at least twice, so that's not too bad.
And was it Harry and the Tones? I can't remember what those called. Yeah,
Neelix and curtain making. Very, very fun.
Well, he does make his own clothes.
Oh, obviously. I mean, that's blatantly obvious. The replicator's like, I didn't even touch that. What is Janeway's hobby? Does she paint?
Other than
drinking coffee.
She's a coffee connoisseur for sure.
That's true. A snob connoisseur, paint. Really?
She does a little painting. I mean, like, because the Da Vinci, I think
that's true.
Is sort of her source.
That's true. She likes pretending. She likes coming into what century is Da Vinci? That's 12th century.
Oh lordy,
something like that. But she likes coming in with like multiple hundreds of years future knowledge. Like, what if we use this advanced carbon? This advanced carbonite composite.
I call it a pen.
Yeah, and he's like, amazing, Catalina. you're totally just. Yeah, you're not even making this stuff up, Catherine. What are you doing? It's like,
oh, guy from Sliders.
Oh, come on,
oh,
guy John from Reese Indiana
Davis.
Jones.
I mean, come on,
guy from Indiana
Davis.
Jones.
You gotta give it to him. Lord of the Rings. I mean,
he was in, oh god, I was just like, he was in Lord of the Rings. Yeah, he doesn't really play
Gimli.
Gimli, yeah, I don't really like those movies, so I think about them very often.
Oh, your connection's breaking up, Daniel. I can't. But
when hobbies turn against each other.
I'm trying to think. Well, what about
yeah,
Seven?
Like,
I mean,
well, there's music.
There's Kelto.
There's Kaz Kadding.
Sorry, Kaz Kadding.
Well, I guess her hobby, if you want to throw this that way, is building up her social
running
skills.
An efficient ship.
Yeah.
Well, that's on duty.
No, it's pretty much all the time.
Being perfect.
She's striving really into... for perfection.
She's really into conspiracy theories too. So.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah,
I feel like she should read that book that I read when I was in middle school, like How to Be Perfect in 3 days or something.
I could see Tom Paris.
Like, it's not a Judy Blume book, but it's in that realm.
It's the Tom Paris introducing her to the X-Files, and she just like assimilates all the entire series, and then she goes on a like crazy rampage.
She's like, the last ones don't make sense. Well, I like Tom Paris's hobby is TV watching. I like how that's a very relatable hobby.
He has a lot of hobbies, though, let's be fair. Yeah. He likes to work on old cars.
Yeah, really old
cars.
And new ships.
Yeah. He's taken biology in the past. I mean, he's really into a lot of things.
I think my favorite...
Basically, everything that happened from 1901 to 2000, that's his hobby.
Year. Well, I like the episode where B'Elanna's saying, so wait, you took me... to a three-dimensional simulation where we're going to project a two-dimensional object on the wall, and then we're going to put on these glasses to make it three-dimensional again. And he's like, yeah, it's going to be great. And she's like, yeah, why do I love you again?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not married yet at this point. So,
that's true. But, yeah. No, it's, you know, Harry Kim has...
What is B'Elanna's hobbies?
Extreme sports.
Oh, yeah,
well, yes. But beyond not being not suicidal.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Sciencing?
See, I think that would...
I don't know.
That's a way of life.
That's true. Engineering. They're very different. I don't understand.
Oh, you're right.
Creating artificial life. Idiot. She dabbles with it on the side. You know, fixing the doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fixing Seven, fixing the holodeck.
There's a lot to fix on that little ship.
Little. All right, guys. So I think we've covered most, probably not all of them, but we've covered a lot of the hobbies of Trekdom here. If listeners can think of anything we miss, and I'm sure there's a lot, they can send a communique here to us here on City Alpha 3 by going to thenerdparty.com/contact and reach the three of us here. Or if you... somehow feel like an iTunes review would be a good hobby of yours, maybe a 5-star hobby. You can leave a review for us and a rating and help us spread the word about the show. And, you know, you can always tweet us at hashtag CA3, ask CA3, and I'll say that again. Or you can always tweet us using the hashtag ask CA3 and tell us what your favorite hobby is and one we left out here. And so, Darren, when you're not busy editing this podcast, because that's your only hobby that I know of, and the only one you should have, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSCIFI, and they can also hear me here on the Nerd Party Network with my other podcast, Goodnight Moon, where I talk about space and science with my 4-year-old daughter, Elizabeth.
And Daniel, when folks want to reach you while you're gaming, I know your other hobby, where can people reach you?
They can find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That's the number one, as in number one, not the word Dan.
And if people want to talk to me about all the things I do in my off time, which is this, it's sadly just this, they can find me on Twitter at NCPublicServant. And so... speaking of other further hobbies here, Darren, what exciting topic do we have next week?
Oh, it's so exciting, Philip. Next week, we are going to have a visit from those fun-filled friends over at Temporal Investigations. And we're going to be talking about time travel, messing up continuity, and just all sorts of wacky things that end up happening to our favorite characters.
Wait a minute. There's time travel in Star Trek?
You know, once or a billion times.
Okay. All right,
thereabouts. Yeah.
Oh, is that a time joke?
No, we don't make jokes.
Oh, okay. And we hope all the listeners here, we hope your hobby is listening to great podcasts here on the Nerd Party Network. So we hope you'll try one of our many other podcasts here on the network, whether it's Nerd Nuptial, Filibuster, Punch It, Missing Frames, all of the, there's so many more that we're, it feels like we're adding great shows every month here. But please give us a listen. And until then, I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
And I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.